This is Chuck Sickinga interviewing Elizabeth Augsbach on July 10th, 1991 for the Tri-Cities Historical Society.
This is Elizabeth Augsbach, and I was born in Spring Lake at 120 North Lake Avenue by the only doctor, I shouldn't say only doctor, I'm not sure, but by Dr. Mulder, who lived in Spring Lake. And my father built our home the second year that he and mother were married. And I lived there until the time I got married at 25 years of age. My great-grandfather, Mathias Urban, and his whole family came from Sweden in the 1870s. And my grandfather, Andrew Larson, came from Sweden. My mother, Louisa Urban, died when father was 5 years of age. So his father then married again, and he had a stepmother. My grandfather worked in the mills. He and my grandmother lived in one of the houses that savages built for the mill workers. This was on Mason Street, which later Savage wanted to move the houses off of that part of Mason Street so it could be added to the Savage estate. The house my grandparents lived in is still standing on North Buchanan Street, across where the railroad tracks are from Savage. This is where the Barretts, a Barrett Boat Works, lived for years. My father's aunt was married to Nels Skoglund, who was Savage's coachman and caretaker until he died. We used to walk from Lake Avenue to there to visit my great aunt, who was an excellent cook. We are of Swedish parentage. I say we because there were four of us. And when I was born, my parents weren't affiliated with any church here, because my mother came from Kent City, Michigan, and she was brought up in a Swedish Lutheran church there. And my father, went to school for Sunday school at McMahon Schoolhouse. And the closest church was Muskegon, and since transportation was so bad, a lot of the Swedes didn't go to church. Actually, this community was predominantly Dutch, mm-hmm. But there were a few Swedes in right. the area. So when it was baptism time, the Swedish minister came down from Muskegon and baptized us, and he came down here to perform marriages and also to perform funerals for the Swedish people.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an earliest memory at all of this area?
Growing
up in Spring Lake? What would be your earliest memory of Spring Lake?
Of Spring Lake? Well, I remember living in our home on Lake Avenue, and in the winter time, since there were four of us, Mother would go out in the backyard and she'd shovel up a high pile of snow, at least it was high to us, that we could slide down on in the winter. And also, we had a attic upstairs, we called it the playroom, that we used to play in on stormy days. And we also had a basement that we could skate around the furnace. We would really skate around the furnace, so that was our activities
Your own
in the winter time.
Roller rink, huh?
Yeah, our own roller rink. And then we had that large field in back of us that extended from our property out to Fruitport Road. And there was no Anderson Bowling there and no homes along there. And Mother would take us out there and we would pick huckleberries and blackberries And then we'd go home and she'd make a blackberry pie. Mm. And so we really were quite free. We had area on the south side of our house. There was a large field. And we weren't allowed to go downtown when we were small. It was just when we began to go to school. Like I say, except when we would go down to my uncle's down by the Savage Estate with mother and dad. But we would then, my recollections of going to school is that the snow was so very deep walking to school in the winter time. Of course, being 5 years old, that maybe wasn't as deep as it really, as I really thought. And we had to wear dresses, underwear, and black stockings to school. And mother packed us a lunch in a small tin pail that we took to school. And it was in the old school that was stood behind where the Township Hall is on Exchange Street, so it was quite a walk. And we, at noon, we would eat our lunch in the basement of the school, and there would be some teacher would supervise, and then we'd play games. And school, of course, in those days got out at 3:30, so by the time we got home, it would be after 4 o'clock. In the summertime, coming from school, we used to look for chestnuts and horse chestnuts. Horse chestnuts were in Dr. Mulder's yard and on our way home, and nobody said we had to get out of their yards.
Oh, that's nice.
And on rainy days, of course, I said we played in the playroom or the attic, and also in the summer we had an ice man that would come with ice, and he'd go down the road and he'd chop the ice before he brought it in the house, and we'd all run out to get a piece of ice that he chopped off. These were big times.
Yeah.
So, and at what age I began to go to Lake Avenue swimming, I don't remember. I imagine I was pretty young. I had two older brothers, and they went down there swimming, and of course, then I wanted to go swimming too. And at first, when we went down there, Mother was quite worried about us because there was no lifeguard, and she would go down two or three times during the day. We were only about two blocks from Lake Avenue swimming beach, but she'd go down to check on us to see if we were all right. But she finally, because she had little ones at home, she finally had to depend, trust God that he would take care of us, and he did. Plus, my brothers were probably watching over me,
right,
too.
How many brothers and sisters did you have all together?
I had three brothers. My younger brother died when he was 17 months of age.
Oh.
And I had one sister. My sister was younger than I.
How much older were your brothers and younger was your sister?
My one brother was about a year older, Bob. And he died at 59 years of age. And I have a brother, Bill, still living in Livonia. And he's almost 78, or he could be 78.
Okay.
And my sister lives in Illinois. Right now they're traveling in a motorhome. They've been traveling ever since the end of March.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And I don't think that her husband plans on coming home until September. And they live on a small man-made lake in Illinois. Actually, it's very pretty there.
Yeah.
But she hasn't lived in Spring Lake since she was 21 years of age.
Mm.
They all moved out of the area. Bob lived in Bay City. I'm the only one that stayed here.
Now, because your house was kind of isolated, I get from what you said, were there other houses around?
Well,
did you
yes.
have other childhood playmates?
Yes. Eventually, Donners, you probably know George Donner,
mm-hmm.
and Marguerite Coffey lives down the street here. I think she was interviewed.
Yeah, in 89.
That's George's sister. They moved to this area from Muskegon, and they lived in the big house on Savage Street, on the corner of Lake Avenue and Savage,
okay.
when they first came. And then Dad built their home there too, right next door to us. So we grew up along Marguerite and George and Virginia and Bob. And we did a lot of things together. They went swimming too. We practically lived in the lake in the summertime. That was our playground. When I learned how to swim, I really don't remember. But we weren't confined to one area. We could swim wherever we wanted to. They had buoys out in the middle of the, or buoys, they call them, out in the middle of the lake. That they had sailboat races in those days too. And we'd swim out to the buoys and then back again. And, or we'd swim over to Strawberry Point. Strawberry Point was mainly cottages that people came to this area, tourists, and so a lot of them owned their own cottages, and we became acquainted with a lot of Grand Rapids people and people from other parts.
So the summer people were, I mean, they mixed socially with?
Well, the children. They would come swimming to Lake Avenue Beach. And the first time we swam across the lake was when we were between 10 and 13 years of age. In those days, you didn't have to worry about motorboats or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
because it was mainly canoes and rowboats on the lake. And of course, we had two boats with us, but the ones in the boats couldn't swim. So when we got home, we were really in trouble for swimming across the lake. But when I was in my 20s, I used to swim across the lake quite regularly. I'd swim over there and sit on the breakwater by a large home and rest, and then I'd swim back again, which was very stupid. Today I can realize what would happen if I had got a cramp out there. But it really, this area was a great place to live in those days, because you were so free to do things.
Okay, other than swimming, did you do anything else with the lake? Did you do fishing?
I didn't say that at that time. There was a pavilion where that home is on the lake, and they sold bread, milk, and different staples, and they also sold ice cream and candy.
Uh-huh.
And so children congregated there too, and people were coming and going. And when we were older, we used to, on rainy days, we could sit in there and we could play cards. On Saturdays in the afternoon, my friend Marguerite and I always walked downtown to the library. There was a small library downtown. It was in the vicinity of the police station along, and there's some place, but it was just a narrow room, a real kind of dark, narrow space was a library, and we would pick up books to take home to read during the week. And then I had a friend that lived on Savage Street, whose grandmother lived on Savage Street. And behind her house were all these woods that went behind carpenters and all along there, and Trotter's. And we'd walk through the woods and over to Trotter's Woods, where Evergreen Village is now. And that's where we found the Mayflowers. And over on the bayou, across Lake Avenue here, there was nothing but grape vineyards. But over on the bayou, on the shores were the big dog violets. We found those. And we walked through the woods down to the bayou. I think Dr. DeWitt owned that property at that time. And we could go swimming in the bayou too. And then the summer, when we were young, Mother would take us, we'd go picking berries, raspberries and black caps for some farmer. And in the spring, they took us picking flowers. We actually, whatever we did really didn't cost any money, and we didn't need too much transportation. About the furthest we went at that time was to Kent City, Michigan to visit my other grandparents.
Oh.
We had a Model T Ford, and they'd pile the four of us in the back, and it would be cold if we went out of cold weather, because we'd had the side curtains. But it was fun to go to my grandparents because they lived on a farm.
How long would that trip take back then?
It was country roads, so it took quite a while.
Yeah.
And about the only place there was to go to a bathroom, we'd stop at some country school and use their bathroom on the way. And of course we went to Grand Rapids, Muskegon, but as far as traveling any distances, we didn't. Then, as we grew up, I went to Spring Lake School through the 10th grade, because that's as far as this went in Spring Lake. But then you took your last two years over in Grand Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to find my own way over. And the first year I went, Morton Barber lived on River Street. He had a car, so a couple of the Vinks and I and Louise Robert rode over with him. But then we walked home from school at night. And the last year I went to school, my brother Bob was going. Morton had graduated. And we would go up to the corner of Lake Avenue and Savage, and there were a lot of men going to work, and they always would stop and pick up the ones going to high school and drop us off. But I took my lunch over to eat over at the high school. My brother came home at noon. He'd hitchhike home and hitchhike back again to Grand Haven. But we always walked home from Grand Haven every night. And that kind of widened our horizon a little bit too, because we met so many different kids.
Yeah.
Except we did meet some at Lake Avenue, because they came from Grand Haven to swim there too.
Wow. About how many kids from Spring Lake would there be in the average class going over to Grand Haven?
Some of them, it was the Depression at that time, and some of them just quit at the 10th grade. Some that came from out in the country where Jeffers School is now, there's school board paid for their tuition to Spring Lake.
Oh.
from the 8th grade to the 10th grade. But then they had to have their own tuition to go to Grand Haven, and some of them weren't able to go because of the Depression. But we were fortunate because Mother and Dad said that we were at least going to get a high school education,
right,
that we were going to have. And but then when we got out of school, it was hard to find any work. All of the high school students were looking for work at that time. And for a while I didn't work. And then I finally worked in a grocery store in Spring Lake, which was good for me because of the transportation problem.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way to get to Grand Haven unless you walked or you had a car.
Right.
So in those days in the grocery store, the people just came in and stood at the counter and told you what they wanted, and you would have to run and get it and then charge it, or they would pay for it. They didn't have it. Like today, you pick up your own groceries and go through a checkout.
Certainly different.
And I worked there for between a year and 2 years. And then the doctor, doctor's sister worked for him, Dr. Wells' sister. And she was going to college, so he and Dr. Camper needed an office girl. They shared an office girl because the both of them were new in business.
Mm-hmm.
He was a physician, Dr. Wells, and Dr. Camper was a dentist. So I applied, and then I worked for the two of them. And I must have worked there between a year and 2 years. But in the back of my mind all the time, I really wanted to become a beautician. So when they decided to split up and each one have an office girl, I thought, I think I'll go to beauty school. So I had saved enough money to go to beauty school, and I had an aunt living in Grand Rapids, so I was able to go up there and stay and go to beauty school. So when I got out of beauty school, I had to wait till I got my license from State Board in Lansing. I had to go there. And they called from beauty school that they had a job for me in Kalamazoo. So I thought, well, I would try it. But I went to Kalamazoo, and I was there 2 weeks, and that was enough for me. I didn't know anybody, and all she had me do was shampooing hair.
Mm.
There were two operators, and they were doing the hair sets and the permanents, and I was just shampooing hair. So I thought, I made $10 a week. And I knew I could make $10 a week and stay home,
right
in this area, because I was making $10 a week before I went to beauty school. So I came home again, and I was a little disillusioned about beauty work at that time. So my brother worked in the post office, and somebody quit, and they needed someone in the post office. Bill Hammond was a postmaster, so I applied, and I worked in the post office in Spring Lake. And it was while I was working in the post office that my husband and I got married.
Wow.
I was 25, and we didn't have anything. So we rented a furnished apartment in Grand Haven on Franklin Street. I think it was Mrs. Denzi's house. And I drove back to Spring Lake to work in the post office, and he worked in Grand Haven at the piano factory. And then a woman approached me, they had a beauty shop in Spring Lake, about buying her equipment. She wanted to to give up her beauty shop.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine said something about going into partnerships. Well, some partnerships work and some don't. And my husband said, maybe it'd be better, we just bought the equipment. And you went into the beauty shop. So we went to the bank. We didn't have anything. But we knew Frank Skolden. My parents had dealt with the bank. And we asked about a loan.
What year was this?
Well, it was maybe a couple of years before the war.
Okay, still in the 30s though, so. Right at the end of the Depression.
Well, we were married in 1941. So it was,
Okay.
We've been married 50 years. So it was right around that, probably 1941, because it was
okay.
First year we were married. And we had no security or anything, but he said, sure, he'd loan us the money for the beauty equipment. And so then I operated the beauty shop. Another friend that had worked in a beauty shop for over 2 years put her license in the shop, so I was able to operate. And it was in J.W. Cooper's old building that later became Pettit's Dress Shop. And I don't know just what is there right at this time, but maybe the fish market is part of it in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fine.
What were the hairstyles
like? I really like beauty work.
Hmm? What were the hairstyles like?
Finger waves. A lot of them were finger waves. And they were just going out of using the machine permanent. I had a machine permanent, a permanent wave machine. But I didn't maybe used it once or twice. And the machineless waves were coming in, but they were the type where you would roll the hair up, and then you would take a pad and put it on, and it would get hot. It would get hot. Okay. You still would have to blow around their ears to cool them off. And the woman came in one day, Mrs. Fleeser. She lived next door here, to get her hair fixed. And she said to me, I have a cute little house that I built on Fleecer Court. She said, why don't you come and look at it? And I said, we don't have any money. And she said, well, just come and look at it. It was two bedrooms, a living room, kitchen, and bath. And I thought, I talked to my husband and my mother and dad, and I thought, gosh, it wouldn't hurt to look at it. So we brought mother and dad, and we went over to look at it at the house next door.
Oh.
And it was nice. They were building little houses at that time, mm-hmm. a small living room and a kitchen with an area to eat, two bedrooms and a bathroom. And then she said to me, it was going into the fall, and I don't think she wanted to leave that house standing empty. And she said, well, I'll tell you, she said, I'll let you have that for $100 down and $25 a month. Well, we had the $100, and we were paying, I don't know how much we were paying for that furnished apartment, but we debated and we thought, well, we could pay that $25 a month and buy furniture. So then we had to go to Holland to buy furniture because we could get the best deal there. And I don't remember if we bought that on time there, but We also had to get a stove and refrigerator. And we had to get some more money, so we went into the bank again and talked to Frank Skolton. And he said, sure, we could borrow some more money. And we had our stove and refrigerator. So we lived there up until about 13 years ago, except in that time we built a garage. And my father, being in construction work, we added on to the back of the house. We put a sunroom and another bedroom and closet and a fireplace, which made it real, real pleasant. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you that, but I also wanted to tell you that while I had the beauty shop, my husband was called into service.
Oh.
And so he left for service, for basic training. And then he was gone for 2.5 years. I did go to Alabama. He was at Fort Rucker until he was shipped out. And I went to Alabama for a month. I closed the beauty shop and went in. And so when I came back from Alabama, then we didn't know where he was going, but he was sent to the Pacific. And he first went to the Hawaiian Islands, and then he went to Guam. They were fighting on Guam, mm-hmm. and they needed help on Guam. So he was with a chemical mortar battalion, but of course they didn't use any chemicals, but they used the mortars. And so he was in the battle on Guam. Then they were on their way to the New Hebrides for a rest, and they were fighting on Leyte, and they needed help on Leyte, so they turned the ship around and went to Leyte Gulf. And he was in the battle on Leyte Gulf until that was over. And then they rested a while, and then they were shipped to the Karamaretto group of islands below Okinawa. And they made the initial landing there and took those islands. And then they were sent to Okinawa, but then they were shipped over to Aishima. And Aishima was where the Japanese were getting a little suicidal. They were beginning to jump into the foxholes when they could with grenades. And that also is where Ernie Pyle was killed, on Aishima. He was behind them, my husband said. And what happened was they were being fired on, and they all jumped into a ditch, and Ernie raised his head up, and he was killed. And he was awarded the Bronze Star on Aishima. He was, because he was forward observer, he had to tell them where to place the shells. From there he went to Okinawa, and he fought on Okinawa till the battle was over. He was shipped back to Cebu for a rest area, and they were issued their winter clothing to invade Japan, and then they dropped the atomic bomb. So he came home. He was gone 2.5 years.
How did that affect your life here?
Well, it was very quiet. though I still could go out in the snow and go over to the lake with the icebergs and different things like that. Go out for dinner once in a while. But of course, with the beauty shop, you're kept pretty busy too. Mm.
Was it, a very stressful day-to-day?
It was.
How much information?
Well, the only information I would get would be out of the newspapers. And I knew he was attached to the 77th Division, so when I'd read where the 77th Division was, I'd know where they were. So by the time he came home, we were nearing our 30s. So then I decided that I should, we should raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two children, but we lost our first baby. She lived to be 5 months old, so we only have one daughter. That's our granddaughter. We have one granddaughter, so that's our family. And when our daughter was, I had quite a bit of sickness too during that time, but when our daughter was about 16, 17, she graduated from high school, I was thinking about going to work again. I had helped out in Dr. DeYoung's office when his girl was off, and I'd helped out in Dr. Wells's office when his girl was off. And so I went over to the hospital business office and applied, and they had an opening in the business office. So I worked in the business office for quite a while. As for the time that I worked there, I don't know just how many, maybe a couple years or more. And then I gave that up because it just was, hospital business offices are busy, and I mean busy, and yeah. I worked with Medicare and Medicaid inpatient billing, and it was busy. So then Julia Bolthouse was working for Dr. Smith and asked me if I would work for her when she got a knee replacement. So I said I would. So I worked for her, and then Dr. Smith asked if I would work part-time, just a couple of days a week, and that was fine with me. So I worked for him a couple of days a week, and for a period of time, and then I finally gave it up. I figured I had worked enough. So we had become golfers too when I had cancer in my 50s, and right after that we became golfers, and we played golf at Grand Haven Golf Club for years. Yeah. We played there when there were no houses
on
there at all, and we really had the best of it. You could go out there any time and play, and it was a beautiful course.
Jam-packed and busy like it is now?
Oh, it got so busy then, and my back began to bother me, and it meant taking a cart, and sometimes it would take so long to play 18 holes of golf that we finally gave up our membership a few years ago, and now we go out to Crockery out on Leonard Road.
Yeah.
It's just a nice ride out there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful ride.
And it's probably like Grand Haven used to be, and not so busy. You can go out any time and play nine, but they're getting to the point of taking tee off times on weekends now. So eventually that will get busy too.
Yeah, there's a lot of demand for golf now. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I play whenever
I
can.
Do you play?
Sometimes I agree with Mark Twain when he said golf is a good walk spoiled.
My husband is playing today 18 holes. Tomorrow he'll play 18 holes. And I played 9 yesterday. I may go out today too, if it doesn't rain.
That's great.
But I'll tell you, there was a time in my lifetime where I thought, I think I'd like to live someplace else but Spring Lake. But now that I'm older, and especially when I began to review all these things we used to do, like the roasts we used to have on the beaches and Norton Township Park, which now is Hoffmaster, and all of these things that we used to go over the sand hills and sit up there and watch the motorcycle hill climb. Of course, sometimes we saw things we shouldn't have seen, but we just had a group that might on a Sunday afternoon say, let's take a walk over to Lake Michigan. So maybe six or seven of us would take a walk over to Lake Michigan and walk back again. And on the whole, I'm glad I grew up around here.
That's what you have at the, I don't know if you remember much about this, what they filled out 2 years ago, but at the bottom you have written Spring Lake was an ideal place to be brought up.
And my daughter says it still is.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, it's...
She lives out on Leonard Road, not too far from here, which makes it very nice when you only have the one daughter.
Yeah.
She married Roy Hierhoser, Jr., but you, if you are not a native, you probably don't know him.
The name rings a bell, Hierhoser, but...
His father was postmaster in Grand Haven for quite a while.
Oh, good.
I don't know if I missed anything.
Okay, well, there's quite a few things I'd like to backtrack on that I was interested about just from your sheet here. It says here you used to do some fishing on Spring Lake when you were younger.
Oh, Mother and Dad used to take us on a Saturday or Sunday in the rowboat, and they could take the four of us, we were just little kids, and have a picnic lunch along, and we'd row across the lake and go in all the bays, and it was so quiet on the lake because there were no boats.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, I can remember that as a child, and the beautiful water lilies and looking down in the clear water. And we'd have our mother would row while Dad would troll for pickerel or whatever he could catch. And it really, when I think of it, especially now that you've been asking me all these questions, I realize how wonderful that was.
Yeah.
All of those things.
You said it was, the lake was very clear then? Could you see the bottom from the boat?
Yes.
Or the,
well, near shore you could see. And also in swimming, we'd swim over the top of the weeds, and that's quite an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the lake was like that now.
Yeah.
I really do. In the river, it's very sad that it got in the condition it's in.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the things, I think Mother and Dad tried to make life interesting for us. My grandparents on Dad's side lived on a farm too, out on 144th. And that's where Dad grew up, on a farm. So we used to go out there and jumping in the haymow and going in the woods out there picking flowers. In those days, it wasn't unlawful to pick a trillium, but today it is.
Yeah.
But
okay, you also have down here for holidays on the 4th of July.
Oh, I wrote down on the holidays here about on Easter. I don't remember if there were Easter baskets at that time or not, but we used to take a pan from the house, and we'd go outdoors and we'd fill it with grass and then take it in the house and put it someplace where the Easter rabbit would find it.
Mm.
And of course, Easter then was always a big day with your candy and your dinner and all. And on Memorial Day, we'd dress up and we'd have a flag, walk down to the village hall, and they had trucks there that the children could ride on in the parade and take us out to the cemetery. And in those days, they held the Memorial Day service in the old cemetery. They had a platform, and they had a speech, and Mother and Dad would walk up there from our house, and of course then we'd go home with them. And on the 4th of July, I don't remember any fireworks and having fireworks any place when we were young. We had our own sparklers and firecrackers and those snakes that you would burn.
Yeah.
And then I should say that my Memorial Day too, I remember going to Mrs. Wood's house on Savage Street.
Who was she?
She lived, it was practically behind where the school was, Mrs. Wood.
Is she a friend of your parents?
No, no. She had the school children come, some of them, and we would make evergreen wreaths for the soldiers' graves.
Oh.
And I really don't know how old I was, because I just remember that. And then Labor Day, of course, was preparation for school. You were mm-hmm. busy getting ready to school. And all the summer people and all the kids that we knew from Grand Rapids or other places, they went back to there, and then we wouldn't see them until the next summer again. And Christmas was a big time. We went to the Presbyterian Church. In fact, I've gone to the Presbyterian Church all of my life. Presbyterian Church, so at Christmas time, there was, we had a program where we had to give speeches at the church. Or they had plays, or I remember being in the nativity scene. I was Mary at one time, and my husband tells me he remembers when he gave his speech that he kept hiking up his pants because he thought his pants were falling down. And he kept hiking them up higher and higher. And then after the program, then we all got a big orange and a box of candy, hard candy, with one chocolate drop in it. And then when we went home, we hung our stockings on doorknobs for Santa Claus to come. And of course, we had a Christmas tree, and then the big Christmas Day dinner. So many of our relatives lived away from here that we more or less had our own celebrations at home. So it seemed to me there was something else I wanted to tell you too.
Okay, how about the Depression? Just in general, how did that affect
your life and your family's life? A lot of people lost their homes, but we didn't lose our home, which was really nice because Dad built our home. Mm-hmm. But my aunt on mother's side, an uncle from Grand Rapids, who had one daughter, They were renting in Grand Rapids, but he was out of work, and they came down to live with us. We came home from high school, and all our furniture had gone upstairs, and they'd moved their furniture in. And they had lived with us quite a while. And Dad, of course, construction work completely stopped.
Yeah.
There was no building. And the village gave permission. Now, whether they owned an island in the River or someone else owned it, that said anybody that wanted to have a garden could come over to the island and put in a garden. And so Dad, since we had a rowboat on the river, he would row over to the garden and he would put in a garden and grew all our vegetables over there. And the mother went out to work. Mother and my aunt went out to work, and they went out to work cleaning cottages and whatever they could find. Sam Falls had a lot of cottages at the lake. Sam Falls was the store where we used to go buy our shoes when we were young. And so, of course, we got through the Depression that way. Finally, my aunt and uncle went back to Grand Rapids with their daughter. But it continued even after we got out of high school. It was hard to find work. And it was impossible for us to go to college.
Right.
So.
Did you find there were any, like, things in your lifestyle you would had to give up during the Depression? Any certain luxuries or things in your day-to-day life that?
Are you talking the food line or clothes?
Food. Did you eat different foods? Did you wear different clothes? Any?
Well, I had to wear cotton stockings. I can remember that. Yeah, of course, there were wealthy children that went to school, wealthy children in this area, too, that went to school. I didn't have to wear cotton stockings, mm-hmm. but I had to wear cotton stockings in the winter. But, of course, I worked in the summer. At what age I started to work in the summer, I was quite old, quite young. There was a family that came from Grand Rapids, a Mrs. Garrett, and her son and daughter-in-law rented a cottage down at the end of Lake Avenue, and they needed somebody to come there during the day to help, maybe doing the dishes, cleaning up after they ate. And so I would go down in the morning and help after the breakfast and clean up and maybe do a little dusting or something. Then I could go home, and in the afternoon I could go swimming. I'd swim in the lake and go down in the evening and help again. I did this 7 days a week, except that mother said that I couldn't go Sunday morning because I had to go to church. Mm-hmm. And I did this for about three years till I got through high school. I earned my own books and my clothes.
Oh, you still had to buy your own books mm-hmm. in those days?
Mm-hmm. You bought your own books. And my brothers caddied in the summertime. They had paper routes. And when they caddied, they couldn't take care of their paper routes. This was before I was working for Mrs. Garrett. Then my sister and I took care of their paper routes. I delivered the papers on Savage Street, and she delivered them down in Strawberry Point. In the summer, in the wintertime, they took them over again.
Right.
So, and that's how we got through that rough area until things got better, became better. But it was rough, but mother and dad never asked for any help.
Did you have any friends or relatives or acquaintances anywhere that maybe took it worse?
That took it worse
yeah,
than
that
we
took
did.
It, I, that really had it bad. I mean, I read in history books
the way whole families were ruined, and maybe the stereotypical, you know, depression horror stories that you might hear now.
I had this friend that she always felt bad that she couldn't finish high school because she lived out in the country, and she would have had to have tuition to go to Grand Haven. When she came to Spring Lake, that one winter she stayed with us through the winter. And the next winter, going to Spring Lake School, she stayed with Mrs. Prune. Sometimes there'd be older women that would need a companion or something to stay with them. And she stayed with her, but she wasn't able to go to Grand Haven. So it was rough on some of them in that respect, because even though they would like to go, they weren't able to do it. Yeah. Because her father was a farmer. That's where we went to pick raspberries and black caps. But as far as...
Nobody's starving.
I remember we had neighbors that lived next to us, and they told Mother that during the Depression they had pitched a tent on some lot. And
it'd get mighty cold.
And but we were fortunate to be able to stay in our own home. Really, I was thinking the other day that the only time I ever lived in an old house was in, we lived from maybe June to September over in Mrs. Denzi's furnished apartment, because Dad built our home on Lake Avenue, so that was a new house. We moved into that house next door, that was a new house, after living at Mrs. Denzi's, and then we built this house. And I really never lived in an old house. And I thought, now that's something, because most people in their lifetime, they've lived in an old house.
Yeah.
But, we've lived here about 12 or 13 years.
Other than on the holidays, what sorts of social events were there?
Well, there were movies, free movies down at where the trailer park is now. It was just a park. In fact, that park and where the yacht club is was given to the people of Spring Lake by Thumb. Thumb was a wealthy man and he owned that property. And he left it to the people of Spring Lake. And then they used to have free movies and band concerts down in the park on a Saturday night. So we would go down there for that. And then later on, of course, they put trailers in there. Mm-hmm. And so then people have always argued about that, because that was given to the people of Spring Lake. Yeah. But when my husband, he was on the council for 10 years, and for 10 years he worked to make that dump property where Mill Point Park is now, was where the old dump was, village dump. And the factories were always trying to get that dump away from the village. They wanted them to give that property to them. And my husband, he was adamant about that, because he knew what a beautiful place it would be to make a park. And for 10 years he was working on that to keep them from giving that property away to some of these factories. And the paper even had articles in it that Spring Lake was driving industry out of town, and they were really taking a beating for it, but they had the right people on the council, and they voted, took a vote, and passed it that that was going to be a park, and that's how Mill Point Park became a park, which is very nice.
Yeah.
In order to get aid, they had to put a boat launching there. They had to have that. But it is a nice park.
Right. Yeah, it's certainly better than a dump.
Oh, it is, because that was nothing. Down where the Holiday Inn is, that used to be just a point of land with a lot of growth of trees and bushes and everything, and there'd be a lot of black people that would come there fishing on that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, fishing was real good. Years ago, fishing was real good in Spring Lake.
That's what I've heard.
My dad would fish through the ice. He loved to go down there and fish through the ice. And he had an old bearskin coat that Chauncey Blakesley was a contractor, and I think Chauncey Blakesley gave him that bearskin coat. He looked like a bear out on the ice. And I would go down and ice skate on the lake. You could skate all over the lake.
Was that smooth?
Sometimes it was clear as glass, just as clear as glass, and you could skate all over. But downtown, when there was snow, the boys used to clean off a place of the ice so they could have hockey games. And of course, then they chased us away. We wanted to skate. We had to clean our own place off. But I just love that ice skating on the lake. And then roller skating at the barn. You heard of the barn?
The barn.
You?
I've heard a little bit about it, but I really...
It was a big building on the channel there. And you could go in it. You didn't have to skate because they had just an area marked off for skating. And then they had some ping pong tables, and they had places where they sold some food and drinks, and you could rent skates, or you had your own skates, and you roller skating, and they played music, and it was great.
Yeah.
Really was great. That was a real good place to congregate.
That was the hangout then, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For high school.
That was a hangout, actually. I think that's what they don't have today. They didn't have too much trouble. The people that ran it controlled it very well. And I then, of course, the barn burned down.
Oh.
So I think that's why there are so many complaints that the young people don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
Except coast around, and that's normal. We coasted around too. I have to tell you, in the Depression, a group of us would get together, and this one girl could get her parents' car, and we'd pool our money. We drove into a filling station in town, and she asked for 1 gallon of gas, and the man said to her, "What are you going to do, take a trip?" And then we'd go over to the theater. Before we went in, we'd buy a big sucker, and we'd go to the movie and watch the show. So we were coasting around too,
yeah,
when we could. Yeah, but there was always something to do, even though you didn't have a great deal of money.
Now, were movies and radio programs in those days a very big source of...
I remember the radio coming in.
Entertainment?
I think that was when I was in my teens, when the radio came in, and everybody sat around the radio and listened to all the programs, and because the movies were in Grand Haven. You had to go to Grand Haven. There was one on 7th Street. We used to, my mother would go with us too. And we would walk over to Grand Haven, and we'd walk down Washington Street. It was kind of across from Cook's. I can't remember what that theater was called now, but they would have real reasonable movies. Yeah. Then we'd walk home at night. Sometimes the snow would be blowing. It would be so cold going across those bridges. But we didn't mind it. One time Mother and Ruthie and I, we were going to walk to Grand Haven, and this car stopped, and it was Mr. Gillard, and he owned the tavern in Spring Lake, and he asked us if we would like a ride, and we said sure. We were going to Grand Haven, and he said to us after we were in there, he says, "What would your mother say if she knew you were taking a ride with me?" We said, "Our mother is with us."
That must have been quite a compliment.
My mother was game for anything. So we had a car at that time, but Mother didn't drive. Oh. So it was nothing to walk to Grand Haven.
That sounds funny. These days it almost seems like if you're going across the street, you have to drive.
That's right.
Become so dependent on cars.
My mother tells about that inner urban. Of course, there was a trestle that went across a railroad track up by the cemetery. I didn't tell you that we would take a picnic lunch and walk down the railroad track, a lot of us, like Marguerite and George and a group of us in the neighborhood. And we'd find a pasture or someplace, and we'd go off and we'd have our lunch there. Well, one day we walked the trestle, the interurban trestle. Well, we got across it okay, and I don't know if we came back again, but somebody went home and told, I know who it is, they went home and told our parents, and then we were in trouble for walking the trestle. But Mother told about the interurban, that it went past the farm where Dad grew up out in the country, and she said that she would have to catch it back to Grand Haven, because she was nurse girl for George Patton Savage. And she lived in Grand Haven, and she went out there, and it was blowing and snowing and so cold, and she got on the steps, and he started up so fast that he almost lost her. She almost fell off that interurban. But actually, that was too bad they took the interurban out, because that would have been nice if we'd had that to go to high school.
Yeah. You also had something in here where you say, under neighborhoods, you said people were closer and friendlier in those days within the neighborhoods.
Yes, I would say so, that you relied more on your neighbors, and I would say they were closer than they now. Everybody is so busy. Quite often you might be someplace where both of them are working.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be the only one not working. Like my sister in Illinois, she lives in a condo, and she says all the women are working. And so there she is all day long, and and no other women are around. So people were closer in those days. But I guess it's almost become imperative in some cases where the women work too.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. see here. Trying to make sure I've hit everything on the sheet here.
I didn't tell you there was a tennis court behind us in that field.
Was there?
A group of men in Spring Lake evidently wanted to play tennis, so they built a tennis court back there. So we had a net. I don't know where my brothers got it, but it had a few holes in that the ball could go through. But we used to go back there and play tennis. And I really enjoyed tennis.
Yeah.
I loved to play tennis in those days. But it seemed like when you got married and you settled down to raise a family, you gave up quite a few of those things in those days. Now you don't. Now the women
yeah.
keep on and exercise and get out and do things. But in those days, it seemed like the thing was for the woman to, she married, she became a wife, and she became a mother. And things have changed in that respect too, because I know that my daughter, she went to aerobics for years and she taught aerobics. And she enjoyed that, but now she's working too. So,
well, I guess.
Did anyone tell you about our penny candy grocery store?
No.
Well, after Marguerite and I would be to the library, we'd have a few pennies and we'd go over to Mulder's grocery store. It was right near the library there. And he had the best penny candy case you ever saw with all different kinds of penny candy, like these licorice spoons and wax with juice in and candy beads and just anything, and you'd stand over that and drool to think what you were going to spend your penny for.
I can just remember some of those things when I was a little kid, maybe 3 or 4, the wax with juice in it, I can remember.
And mm-hmm. Did you remember the licorice spoons?
No.
They were had a round handle and then they kind of rounded out like a spoon on the end.
Oh.
And of course, if you had a penny, you'd go down after school or at noon or something to get penny candy. It was great. That's the only place I remember where they had all that penny candy. But we didn't get downtown very much because we were at the East End here.
Yeah, was that pretty much the fringes of town back then?
We were in the township because we were on the east side of Lake Avenue, North Lake Avenue. So we were in the township. We weren't in the village. So you'd say we were out in the country. But we walked to the lake. It was nothing. It was just a short ways to the lake.
Okay, unless you have anything else to add, as sort of a way to sum this all up, what would you say are the major changes in Spring Lake since you've lived here? How would you say it's changed? And
when we moved in here, there was no house there on the corner. There were only three, Mrs. Fleecer had only built three houses in here. So since then, these lots are all filled in this area. Behind us was empty fields over to the homes on River Street. There were some houses along Lake Avenue. And now you have James Street in there with homes. All of that is built up over in across Lake Avenue here, which was all grape vineyards. There was just that home. There was a home down where the condos are, Cassius, it was called, and on the bio. There was just one home there. That was, otherwise there was nothing across Lake Avenue from Fleecer Court. I guess there aren't too many lots in Spring Lake now for it that can be built on. And of course these condos that went up downtown, that's a major change. And Holiday Inn is a major change. We had a beautiful, the old road had all these weeping willows on the side of it that we used to walk home that old road from Ferrisburg to Spring Lake. It was a beautiful walk along that old road.
Now, would you say that the increase in development in this area has taken something away? You feel that life is still more or less the same in Spring Lake, or do you feel something's lost?
No, it's busier. Spring Lake is busier, and of course it could be my age that I can go down shopping someday and not see anybody I know. But see, that could be my age too. And I don't know if we're predominantly Dutch anymore. Dutch Town used to be down at the end of River Street in that area.
Okay.
They call Dutch Town. I don't know if children are quite as free. They don't have as much space to wander on as we did. And I think we lock our doors today. We never locked our doors. Mother and Dad, we never locked the doors at home. The doors were always unlocked. But my husband is apt to go and leave them unlocked, and I insist that he lock them, and especially now when I read that Wellscott's over on River Street were robbed, I said, you've got to lock the doors. You can't just leave them unlocked. I think that cars have had a lot to do with that. You get so many transients and so many people traveling through, strangers that you don't know. I didn't tell you we used to have carnivals years ago.
Oh, really?
Up on the corner of Lake Avenue and Savage Street. Not Lake Avenue, up on the corner of Fruitport Road and Savage by Welch's Crossing. And of course we'd go up to the carnivals, but we never had to go see the fat lady because the fat lady used to come down swimming at Lake Avenue.
What sort of things were in the carnivals?
Oh, the thin man and the fat lady and all the different rides. And
what sorts of rides were there then? What sorts of rides were there in the carnivals then?
Well, of course there was a merry-go-round. And I just can't. I can't remember. That's so long ago. Once in a while, gypsies would come to town. You'd see them go through the town. And then they'd always, you know what they always said about gypsies.
No.
So they were a little light-fingered.
Would you be scared of them? Or?
No, not really. Not really. There really wasn't too much to be afraid of in Spring Lake. in those days. Because their children didn't have to have all the warnings they have, like they have today. Mm-hmm. I just, when I was a teenager, I babysat, and then I telephone sat for the doctor to just answer the telephone when they went out. Mm-hmm. And like I say, there was always something to do. At church, the church, we would go four times on Sunday. We'd go to church, we'd go to Sunday school, we'd go to Christian Endeavor, and we'd go to church at night. So Sunday was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I never complained. My brother, he kind of resents he had to go to church four times on Sunday, but it never bothered me. And then, of course, there were a lot of activities in church, like Christian Endeavor. They had Christian Endeavors in Grand Haven, too, and they would combine once in a while with each other churches. And my mother always helped with the Christian Endeavor. She taught Sunday school. I've taught Sunday school, Bible school. I've been a circle leader and had the Bible study, and I've been on the board, and I've been a deacon in the church, so we've been busy. My husband has been a deacon and an elder, and we still go to the Presbyterian Church. Somebody asked me the other day if I was the oldest member there, one that had been the member the longest, and I really don't know whether I have or not.
You've got to be getting close, I would imagine.
I'm getting
close. If you've been one your whole life.
Getting close, because I'm 75 years of age. No. But I have no regrets on growing up in Spring Lake and living here. None at all.
That's great.
And I've done quite a bit of traveling. We had a minister in town, Reverend Northrup, that would arrange these tours. And he had a tour to the Holy Land. So after I had left the hospital, I went to the Holy Land. That was very interesting, to go to the Holy Land.
I can imagine.
Especially when you've gone to church all your life and you know the Bible as well. Mm-hmm. So many of the places you're so familiar with. And then we said, why don't you take a tour to the Scandinavian countries? And he said, well, I'll think about it. So he arranged a tour to the Scandinavian countries. So I went to Denmark, Norway, and Sweden.
Oh.
And that was very interesting. And then he said, what about, he said, I'm going to get another one to go to Europe. And I didn't know if I could make that or not. And then my husband said, oh, go. He said, why don't you go? He doesn't want to travel. I think he had enough during the war.
It's possible.
And I thought, I guess I will. And so then we went to the Netherlands and Germany, Switzerland, France, Italy, Austria. And that really was nice too, all of those. And then I have a neighbor that's a widow, and she likes to go, and we wanted to go to the Hawaiian Islands. So we went to the Hawaiian Islands. But now I don't know if I'm going on any more of those long trips. I might take some of these shorter ones that come up, but it's been a good life. There have been unhappy times, but you get through them.
Great.
They're I see so many marriages breaking up, and I think, I can think numbers of times we could have broken up too, but somehow or other you worked it out. And especially with our first baby, she was born with a deformity and she lived to be 5 months. And a lot of marriages break up at that time, but you just have to work it out together.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the whole, it's been a good life. I can look back and say it's been a good life.
Great.